that God allows you and I to participate. And he creates these particular moments for you and I, and make sure you don't miss them. Sometimes we can become so busy in our lives, and God has set us up to have one of these moments in our lives, and we miss them because we're just too busy doing other things. And when we hear about what other people have experienced, we say things like, well, that never happens to me, or how come I could never have that happen? Let me give you just the inside secret on it, that you will never have the true, exciting, landmark experience in your life aside from what God can do for you. And the word landmark means an event or a discovery marking an important stage or a turning point in your life. It means a boundary marker or a signpost. I was thinking today, and I hope all of you are praying for the hurricane victims down south. So tragic. And the water that is coming in there, in some places, over 40 inches of water. Could you imagine that? And I felt a little guilty walking out the door today. And it is so beautiful here. But I remember Patty and I going to Key West. And there is this monument, like a landmark, the furthest southern point of the United States. A landmark. We got our picture taken, thought it was cool, and it was kind of cool to be down there. But I'm going to tell you some other landmarks that are far more important than anything physical that we have ever gone to, is the landmarks that God creates for our lives. I remember, you know, as a young boy, I said during the offering that I began to give to God when I lived in the back of my pickup. I remember going to the little Christian Missionary Alliance church when the preacher began to preach. And I thought, what am I doing here? This is so boring. But I went because I was chasing after the blonde who I ended up marrying. And I'm still married to her. But I went. My motives were wrong. And you can come to church and have wrong motives. And God will, he'll even work in your heart. Even when you're sitting here and you really don't want to be here like I did. I remember that. I didn't want to be in church, but God, he took those moments and he did something with them. And any time you avail your life to God and his, in the Spirit of God and the atmosphere that God is in, he will do something powerful in your life. And he will do something in your life now that you may not even realize what's happening until later. You will look at it, you will reflect back at it, you'll say, that was the moment when this happened. I shared a few of those. You know, this last week, to me, was a landmark moment for the church. Pastor Tim DeLena, it was the best message that has ever been preached at the City Church, ever. And you can hear it. It's online. But that was a landmark moment. That was a time. Oh, my goodness. He brought some things to life. And I was just spellbound by it. And then, you know, we had the sanctuary open for 3 days at the beginning of the week. And I spent, for those 3 days, mostly about 3 hours per day in here. And just having those moments with God for him to speak to me, not for me just to give him this laundry list of what I wanted him to do for me. And that is what prayer is. And I want to create that landmark for somebody. I want to be about that in my life because these landmark moments are created by the decisions that you make right now. So I did not know back then when I began to date this girl, I didn't realize that her grandmother had been getting up in the morning at 3:30 for decades praying for the people that they would marry. And because I made myself available, I stepped into something that she was laboring over for decades. And as a result of that, I gave my life to Christ. I eventually married her. We had children. The children, you know, we've had landmark moments with our kids in various times in their lives when it was just things that were just astounding as we looked at them, as we watched them. I told about one in the earlier service about Ben, when Ben and Amanda were dating and they got in an argument and they broke up. I referenced it all because last Friday night I went to a football game that Gabe, my oldest grandson, was playing in Cuba, Rushford, which is about, I think it was an hour and 40-minute drive in the middle of nowhere. I didn't even know that part of the world existed. It was so back there. I was driving down through a place called Centerville. How many of you ever heard of? And there's people in horse and buggy. I mean, I thought, did I get transported here or what? And Gabe's down there. He's playing his heart out. Notre Dame beat him 20-0. I mean, Gabe, he's just a champion on there, as well as many kids here and others are. Amen. It's my grandson. And Amanda's over there biting her nails off. And I looked over at her. And I was tired. I had a long week. I got up 5 o'clock Friday morning. I'm an hour and 45 minutes away. It's 9:30 at night. I'm telling you, I'm looking for the sheets. And I got another hour and a half. It's 10. She's over there biting her nails. You know what I thought about? I thought about back up. I don't even know how many years they've been married now. 18 years, maybe? And I remember when her and Ben broke up. And I remember back in the day when we had house phones. How many of you remember what a house phone is? And all these calls, all of a sudden these young girls, they found out that my son was back on the market. They call, hey, is Ben home? No. Could you tell him to call me when he gets in? Sure. I lied like a rug. I'm thinking to myself, I hung up that phone. No, I'm not telling them. I'm not telling him to call you, because we had prayed for the right woman to come into his life, and we believed it was Amanda, even after it looked like it was over. Amen. Yes. And praise the Lord, my son got his mind back together, ended up marrying her. And as a result, Gabe's on the football field playing, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching them with my other grandkids up. They're poking me and knocking into me, and, you know, they're sharing their nachos with me that probably fell on the ground, and they scooped them back up and put them in there. But I'm eating them and say, oh, honey, they're so good. Love them. All from a decision that was made a long time ago. Decisions that were made for my life even before I knew they were being made. Some of you are here this morning. You're not here because all of a sudden you woke up today and thought, it's a nice day, I'd like to go for a ride, but maybe we should go to church anyway. You're not here because you necessarily made that decision. The decisions that were made decades before over somebody praying over you and for you are what brought you here at this moment today. And they're not over yet either. They're not over because there's still people that are praying for you and that are believing God for you. And there's people here, you're praying for you and believing God for you, that God will create that landmark moment that you will never forget. I've had those moments so many times that some know about, other times that they don't know about. You know, this Thursday, this will be a landmark moment in our family when my son Ryan becomes ordained into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you think, well, yeah, you know, we knew that. We saw that coming. You can't believe, from a kid living in the back of a pickup truck, I was laying on my clothes so when I got up in the morning, they would be warm for me to put on. To this day where I'm standing here and I'm going to ordain my son into the ministry, that just does not happen. That comes from decisions that are made, not only that you make, but that others make for you. See, that same grandmother that was praying for me, those prayers even carry over to him and carry over into my grandkids to this day. Landmark moments. I have experienced landmark moments in times of prayer. I think about ones on the farm. I've got places in the woods that I'll walk to, or I'll ride my four-wheeler to. The same places. And I'll go there and I'll spend time with God. Speak to me. Reveal stuff to me. I have a place I used to go when I was farming. I'd go, the only place I could go and get any solace was up in the old granary, up in the barn. I'd go up there and I'd close two doors to get in there. No people, they'd still be looking for me. They couldn't find me. They never knew I'd be in there. I'll still go in there. And it's not necessarily the place. Some of you can't go back to a particular physical place, but you can remember what God did for you in that very moment. I remember going to places, you know, I was contemplating the amount of places, the countries that I've been preaching the gospel. Brazil, Costa Rica, went to Cuba this year, Ireland, France, Israel, Indonesia, the Republic of Georgia, Armenia, and I'm probably missing a couple, Kenya, Ethiopia. I remember in every one of those places, landmark moments that weren't just for me, but they were for others that came as well. I'll never forget preaching outside in Kenya. It's probably 4,000, 4,500 people, dirty, no seats, no blacktop, no grass, dirt. Smelly, hungry people for God, preaching, and this young boy, hundreds come respond to the altar call, and this one, I can see it as he's standing here today. I don't know, he's 13, 14, 15, just thin, sores on his face, his feet were just terrible. But all over the front of him was this wet from weeping that God had touched him in that moment. I'll never go to that place probably ever again, but that moment will never leave my mind. That wasn't something that I did. That was something that my wife's grandmother prayed for decades before I ever got to that place. But because of obedience, because I decided that I would step out of something that I normally would do and do something that I would never do, God met me there and he gave me those moments. Am I talking to anybody today that wants to have a landmark moment in their life? And I just believe that when we step out, that he leads us on this journey where he's going to do something so powerful. Some of you, you have landmark moments that bring pain to your heart because of some failure, because of a poor decision. And when you think of landmark moments, all you can think about is that moment, the time that you made that poor decision. Maybe it's a moment when you went through a divorce. Maybe it's a moment when you said goodbye to somebody for the last time, and it just won't leave your mind. I want to assure you today, yes, the memory will be there, but God can turn those hard times and do something really beautiful with them. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe that these landmark moments, they're created through us taking time to pray and to believe God and to know and to understand the pathway that he wants us to go. We find these moments when we do pray. They begin in times of prayer. Jesus said, I want you to pray like this, he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the bread that we need. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And he says, pray like this. He doesn't say, I want you to recite this prayer. He said, this is the pray this in the brackets of your life. This is how you should pray. Number one, he says, our Father in heaven. You got to learn to connect with God on a regular basis. If you're going to have a landmark experience with God, you can't just do it once in a while. You can't wait till Sunday. You have to do it on a regular basis. You got to talk to him like he's truly your Father. Romans 8:15 says, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful as slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. He is your daddy. And you can come to him and talk to him in that way at any moment and at any time. The second where he says, pray like this. He said, hallowed be your name. You and I need to learn to say the name of Jesus. Say the name. Because in his name, he reveals things to you and I. Proverbs 18:10 says, God's name is a place of protection. The righteous can run into it and find safety in his name. Psalm 124:8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. John 3:18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sin, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you. What? You were broken. You were lost. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Paul said, before you look at somebody else with judgment, he said, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. There's power in the name, and God reveals himself in the name of Jesus and creates moments in your life, landmarks that you will never forget. And then he says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, God's will, not just my list of wants. My, get this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be given unto you. And once you focus on God's agenda and his plan for your life, he reveals to you his promise. He reveals to you the pathway and where he wants you to walk. And when you walk in it, your life will be full of these landmark moments that God will receive all the glory for and all of the honor. There'll be like nothing you've ever experienced. Then he goes on, number four, he says, give us this day our bread. Landmarks are never created by what you and I can do only. Man, I meet with people and they begin to say, look at what I've done. Look at how I've done this. People who have a relationship with Jesus. And you want to know the fastest pathway to losing everything that you say you have is by claiming that you did everything that you've got. You are to give, and I, to give all of the honor and all of the glory to God, for he is the one that gives us the power to create anything that we have. Psalm 121:1 says, amen, clap for that. That's the truth. He says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? The reality is no. He said, my help comes from the Lord who's made the heavens and the earth. Why would I want to say that my help come from any mountain that I created or anything that I've done when God created that very mountain? He creates everything. And when you and I realize what he has done and give him credit for what you and I have, then we will see the glory of God and he will give you more in your life because now he can trust you with what he's given to you. Oh, I love that. Landmarks are created not by what I can do. And then he goes on to say, number five, forgive us our debts. And we'll be forgivers also. Keep my heart right with God, Lord, and with other people. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Sometimes we become so desensitized to this thought. I don't know if it's because maybe we hear about forgiveness so much that we said, yeah, oh yeah, okay, I get that. But then we don't forgive. And God says to you and I that as we pray to be forgiven, that we are to hand out the same level of forgiveness. Here, hello, are you listening to me? Romans 12:21 says, don't let evil conquer you. Don't let what somebody says or does or has done, don't let it conquer you. Don't let it define you. Don't let it take you over. But he goes on to say, but conquer that evil by doing something good, by blessing someone else, even the one who has tried to assault you. And I'm going to tell you something, just if you don't know me, I love to bless somebody and be kind to someone who I know in a back way is trying to harm me. And when I do that, guess what happens? God just begins to open up windows of heaven and he creates landmark moments that I just simply love and enjoy. Don't return evil for evil. Do good and watch God create something so spectacular for you that if you knew it, you would never want to return evil. When somebody does something, when somebody says something, when somebody acts out, when somebody begins to trash you on social media, you bless them. You don't have to do it socially either. Just when you see them, put your arm around them, hug them, and just tell them, I love you. You look so great today. I'm so happy to see you. Return good and watch it diminish what the devil has meant to try to destroy your life. Then he says, don't lead us into temptation. Landmarks are created when you and I stand up. Sometimes you got to fight evil that's knocking on your door. You can't just turn tail and say, well, it'll be okay. I guess, you know, I just got to go through this. There are times when you're going to go through things, and then there's time when undue, unnecessary demonic activity tries to assault you, and you've got to stand up and say, not now, not ever, hit the road, Jack. You ain't never coming back to my house, to my home, to my family, no more. You got to take a stand for that. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on that armor so you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. And let me tell you, if you're here today and you don't think the enemy's got a scheme about you or against you, you are deceived, because there's nothing he wants more than to turn your life upside down and try to destroy it. Stand strong. Stand firm. Pray and believe God that he will wipe that off of your life. And then lastly, he says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You got to have faith in God's ability. You got to have confidence in God. That's not a haughtiness. I'm talking about a confidence that when you come to him, you know that he is a God that will meet you and empower you and lead you and help you to create these moments that only he could create in the time that he has given you to live. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have asked. We have it because we've asked it by him. God will give you confidence. God will strengthen you in those moments. He'll give you what you need to do, what you have to do at that moment. I get put in those places often, and I love to put other people in those places. I love to put people and push them out into a dimension where they're not used to it. I've been in those places many times. I just was thinking about some landmark moments, some moments when I've been pushed in before people in places that I was so frightened of that I, I just never thought God could do something like that. I remember the first time when I was preaching for this company that they would have me come, and we'd go to these convention centers. And it was okay when there was about 200 or 250. And then there would be 1,000. And a couple times there would be 2,500 people there. I wasn't used to that. And I begin to look inside and say, God, I can't do that. And I never forget one of the first times when that happened and I heard the Lord say, you're right, you can't do it. But I'll give you the confidence. If you'll put your hope and your trust in me, if you'll plant your feet firmly in who I am, I'll help you through that. I'll give you the grace to do that. I remember when I was asked to speak at the Good Friday service in Buffalo. I don't know, one of seven, 13,500 people. I thought, God, I can't do this. Use somebody else. He goes, no, I want to use you. Give you the confidence. That was a landmark moment in my life. But that didn't start with anything that I did. You know when that started? Back when Granny was praying over a toilet seat for her granddaughter to marry somebody that would serve the Lord and the Lord only. I'm speaking this into somebody's life today. You're taking your moment in time too lightly. You're taking where you're at too nonchalantly. Because God has brought you at a place and a time right now where maybe you haven't had these moments. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants to create them for you. And when you begin to make that decision to say, yes, Lord, here I am, use me. Watch what he can do in you. Come on, do you believe that today? Do you receive that? Just close your eyes and bow your head with me just a moment. I love the Lord. I thank him for what he's done. I thank him for what he's doing. I thank him for your life today. Maybe you are that couple that Ryan referenced earlier. You're just on the, you don't even know why you came today. Open up your eyes. Look at me one more time. I'm going to tell you something that's very personal. There was a moment in my life with my wife and I that I didn't want to stay married anymore. I don't know if she did either, to be honest with you. Not proud of it. I look back at that, and I had people praying for me that I didn't even know. Can I tell you something? That God, he healed my heart. My wife is one little notch off of being perfect. Not me. I'm like, why did somebody have to say amen right there? Not me. I'm like from here to New York City from being perfect. She's right there. Did God begin to work in my heart? See, some of you, you're praying for God to fix them when he wants to fix you. Are you listening to me? This isn't condemning. This is liberating. This is free for someone. I'm on the hot seat, not you. God changed my heart. I'm so glad he did, because I got three beautiful kids. I got five incredible grandkids. I'm believing for more grandkids. Where is Garrett? Is he still here? And the prayer that Granny prayed over a toilet seat continues on to this day. And landmark moments are continually being unfolded right now as we speak. Somebody, you're making a decision today. You're making a decision right now. I hear your heart. You're making a decision. If you'll follow God, if you'll trust him, he'll fix your heart. Close your eyes one more time. Bow your head. I'm going to close in prayer. I want the prayer people to come to the altar. Some of you, before you leave today, you need somebody to agree with you in prayer. You need somebody to stand with you and say, you're going to make it. You need somebody to lay their hand on you and say, God's got this. The epidemic in drug addiction is overtaking our culture. Genesee County is going to be named shortly as the highest per thousand deaths from overdose in the state, Genesee County. We are right in the middle of it. And I'm not foolish enough to think that there's not someone here or someone's this morning. You're struggling with that. There's no condemnation. But God has more for you than that. Maybe it's in your home, your family. Maybe it's with your children, as Ryan said, estranged from your children. Maybe mom or dad, maybe it's something as simple as you picking up the phone. And I know you're saying right now, no, I'm not doing that. I've tried. Sometimes God, he says, go ahead and try one more time. Do it again. He can work something out. A landmark moment is waiting for you. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You can do that. When I close in prayer, just come down and ask one of these folks. Say, will you pray for me? I want to give my heart to God today. They'll pray for you. That'll be your landmark moment. Your life will begin to open up. You'll see things and experience things that you've never thought you could. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on every single life here today. Manifest your love in their hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I was thinking this morning about landmark moments when I've traveled on missionary trips. I thought I never would have had those had my wife's grandmother not prayed for me. Chris and I would have never sat in multiple coffee shops drinking shots of espresso until his eyes flickered. I never would have gone to Ireland with Paul Lemondola and heard him give his testimony how God saved his life and then he sold all his drug paraphernalia to fund his missions trip. Landmark moments. They can be funny, but they're all impactful. I love you so much. I believe in every single one of you. I believe in God's plan for your life. The half has not been written or told yet about what God will do with you. I love you. Go in his grace today. Stop. Take your picture back up top there. Come down for prayer. Get some goodies on the way out. Love somebody. Make sure you tell our police officer how much you appreciated her being here today as well. Go in his grace. See you Thursday. Ryan's ordination. It's going to be an incredible landmark day.